We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
Everyone, welcome to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind Podcast. I'm your host, Stevie TPFL. It's Wednesday. It is June 9th. It is 2021, and we have 12 baseball games to talk about here on today's slate. I'm joined by my good buddy for the second day in a row, GNEFRO7. Grant, how's it going, my friend?
Not too bad. I stacked Baltimore everywhere, and yet I'm losing money. So I don't fully understand this DFS thing. It doesn't really make sense to me.
I mean, DFS is fun, right?
It can be.
DFS is always fun. It's not going to go right every night. And that's just how you got to look at it, right?
And there's always tomorrow.
There is always tomorrow. And that's what we are going to focus on this podcast. 12 games. I mean, let's just jump right in. We start with the Dodgers and the Pirates, Gonsolin against Anderson. And this game currently has a 9.5 total. Dodgers a 175 favorite here. Tony Gonsolin coming off of this is a guy that's been out since the beginning of the season. I don't think we will see him throw a lot in this game. I would cap him at 75 pitches is what I think I read earlier today.
Yeah, I think sounds about right. Yep, 75 pitches.
Any interest in him?
Not at 9-1, just no. I mean, it's a decent matchup going up against Pittsburgh, but don't really care. Don't really want to pay 9-1 for a guy going 75 pitches.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, if he was a little bit cheaper, I think he would be in play because Pittsburgh is not good, but 91 for a guy that's probably going to throw 75 pitches max. I'm with you here. I'm out. On the other side, we have Tyler Anderson. I mean, Tyler Anderson is Tyler Anderson. He's going to get hit by righties, pitch well against lefties, and has a little bit below average strikeout rate.
Yeah. He's 8K and he's going up against the Dodgers. Just no interest in him.
Yeah. It's kind of how I feel too, buddy. It's kind of how I feel too. Let's talk Dodgers bats. Anything standing out to you here for LA?
I mean, not really. Pollock's a little bit cheap at 3.1K. Obviously, as you said, Anderson's very mediocre to bad versus righties. So him or Turner or Betts all are fine. I'm expecting them to be very heavily owned, so I might fade him. It's being played over in Pittsburgh. Obviously not great here as ballpark. So Anderson's still just a mediocre pitcher that can get beat up a little bit by righties. So I have no problem playing Turner, Betts, or Pollock, but it doesn't stand out as a great spot. And if a lot of people are going to be on, which I fully expect to, they have currently have a 5.4 implied run to team total. So it's mostly an ownership play that I'm going to fade them, but Betts and Turner grade out as good plays, and Pujols and Pollock grade out as good point per dollar plays. It's going to be an easy stack to put in there. It's just, like I said, it's going to be chalky. So do with it what you may.
I mean, the weather could potentially, like, there's some potential weather in this game, and the weather could keep ownership down. This game's in Pittsburgh. It's not like it's in the best ballpark for hitting either. I wouldn't be shocked if they come in a little bit lower than what you're thinking, but I mean, Pollock, like you said, he's cheap. If he's in there, which he should have a pretty decent lineup spot. He's interesting. Pulhos is somewhat interesting here, but yeah, I mean, I don't love the Dodger stack. I don't love the ballpark. I don't love the weather. So, I mean, I don't think it's a bad stack against Anderson. On the other side, Gonzalez pitching here against Pittsburgh. I mean, I just don't like the Pittsburgh offense. Like, there's just nobody that is standing out. Like, Hayes has been hitting the ball really well when he doesn't miss first base. Did you see that?
I didn't How see do you, it. I heard about it. I didn't want to watch it out of anger.
Yeah, I mean, like, he's been hitting the ball really well. If I was going to play anybody, it'd probably be him. But outside of that, I don't have a lot of interest here in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I mean, Hayes would be strictly a one-off, but outside of that, like, solid bullpen, solid pitcher, like, not a good ballpark. It just kind of adds up to a mediocre spot for stacking. So if you really want to, you can go cheap, like Moran and Polanco, even though Polanco hasn't been fantastic, he's 2.5k, and Hayes, and do a nice little mini stack where you can pay up at other spots. But outside of that, just strictly based out of pricing, I don't really have any interest in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I don't really have any interest either. Moving on, we have Atlanta going into Philly. Tucker Davidson against Zach Eflin, 9 total in this game. Philadelphia 120 favorite. Any interest here in Tucker Davidson?
I don't think so. The guy really doesn't grade out to be a great major league pitcher. Gonna come in, probably have close to league average strikeouts, maybe slightly above average. Supposed to be entirely mediocre all-around guy, and I don't know how late he'll go into the game because it's a tougher matchup with some guys that know how to work the count. So 6.5, there's worse things you can do, but they have a 4.8 implied team total on the other side with Philly. So I'm probably going to just fall on Faye Davidson. I don't see the need to go there.
Yeah, like, honestly, his underlining numbers suggest there's a lot of, you know, negative regression coming for him. 5.5 XFIP, really, really high walk rate. I mean, I don't see myself using Davidson here. He's 6,200. The lineup it's tough for lefties. They walk a lot. They don't strike out a lot. I mean, I think this is a spot you hope that regression hits and you play some Philly bats, and we'll talk about that in a second. Zach Eflin on the other side of this game. I mean, again, this is a tough matchup. This is a really good lineup. Eflin doesn't walk people, and he's very good against righties, which, you know, the majority of this lineup is right-handed hitters. Do you have any interest here in Eflin at 8,900?
Not really. It's just a little bit too expensive, obviously. He's above average hitter or above average pitcher, but he's going up against the Braves, and yeah, they are pretty righty dominant, and he is a lot better versus righties than he is versus lefties, but this is just too good a lineup here. I have a 4.3 implied run total against him. I think that's about right. Well, I can get out of this matchup with potentially 2-3 runs. They're a low enough strikeout team, and they know how to work a count. Even though Eflin doesn't walk a lot of guys, he still is probably not going to go as late into the game as he normally would in a different matchup. So no real interest in him.
Let's talk bats here. Any interest here in the Atlanta bats?
Freeman or Albies are fine. Like you said, lefties versus Eflin are fine. Like Freeman's a great one-off. Albies is a pretty solid one-off, but I don't think I'm stacking them up. Like you said, Eflin does not walk people and he gets a lot of ground balls against righties. So while Freeman and Albies can do some work, the rest of the lineup is probably just going to be putting the ball in play and it's going to be majority just BABIP. If they do anything, it's not going to be a ton of home runs. So I'm out on the Atlanta bats.
Yeah, I mean, if they're cheap somewhere, I forget which site I was doing value tags on lineup HQ for premium on Tuesday, and like Freeman was 3K somewhere. So if he's super cheap again, fire him up. As far as Philly goes, I kind of like this stack a lot. Like, this is a good ballpark. Davidson, the underlining numbers for Davidson screams like regression. There's a lot of power here with Hoskins and Realmuto, McCutcheon, Segura, Harper. I mean, I think this is the spot you just kind of go all in here on Philly and stack them like with a five-man stack.
Yeah, right there with you. I mean, Baum, even though he's been hitting terrible so far this season, he's still 2.8K, so if you want to throw him and Torres in there, don't mind it. But yeah, it's Segura, it's Hoskins, it's Realmuto, and it's McCutcheon. Davidson is a guy that's predominantly just a fastball slider guy. He does have a curve, but he doesn't throw that as much, so grades out to be pretty extreme splits. Going to be give up a lot of hard contact, a lot of fly balls, and not going to strike out right is a huge clip. So far this season, we don't have a huge sample size, but in 34 at-bats, he's only striking out righties at an 11% clip. And yeah, he's gotten a decent amount of ground balls, but that's probably not going to keep going. He should end up getting the ball in the air with a slider going up against the righties, so it is a perfect spot to target McCutcheon, Realmuto, Hoskins, and Segura. And then if you want to throw in Harper, it's not a bad idea. Davidson really doesn't grade out to be a great pitcher versus lefty, so I don't mind the lefty-lefty matchup there. Even with O'Dougal up at the top at 3.5K, don't mind him. This is a great stack. Philly's grayed out as one of the better stacks on the entire day.
All right, moving on. We got the Mets and the Orioles. Tajon Walker against Matt Harvey in this one. This game has a 9 total. Mets are a 155 favorite. Any interest here in Walker?
Walker's a fraud. This isn't a great ballpark. He's really not very good. Like, I don't really have any interest in him. And I've said that pretty much every single start. And worked out terrible up until the last start here. But he's a guy that's just pretty decent versus righties, not great versus lefties. And he's an average pitcher. Like, that's all he is pretty much just an average to below average pitcher. And so I don't want to pay 8.6K for him, even in a decent strikeout matchup going up against Baltimore. They're still a solid overall hitting team, in my opinion. This is not a good ballpark.
Do you think he's using the sticky stuff? That's what he's using, the sticky stuff. I mean, at the end of the day, he struggles against lefties, and there are some decent lefties at the top of the order. The righties at the bottom of the order are bad. If the top of the order can beat Walker, Walker probably does not pay off 8,600. If he can get through the front of the top of the order, he probably has the upside to go 20 plus here. So if you're playing a lot of teams, I think he's interesting. If you're playing like a 300 max, he probably doesn't make the build today. Matt Harvey on the other side of this game, zero interest. I mean, Matt Harvey's been pitching so bad this season that they kind of used him as like an opener last time out. And it was actually probably his best outing of the season. And they still only let him go 3 innings.
Yeah, well, I think they had the plan to go long relief after Harvey. And, I mean, they still probably are going to do the same thing here. They haven't announced anything, but wouldn't surprise me if they only let Harvey go with 3 innings. Regardless, I wouldn't use him.
Yeah, I think I remember reading that it was like a short rest is why they only let him go or used him as like a, you know, reliever type thing. But, I mean, I don't really have any interest here in Harvey. Let's talk Mets bats. Anything standing out to you here for the Mets?
I really don't mind the lefties in it, like VR, Lindor, both solid bats. They're expensive, but Harvey's been terrible versus lefties. And if we're not expecting to go too late in the game, you can throw in McCann, you can throw in Alonso. This is an expensive stack. So if you can make it work and you aren't really playing much Cole, the stack is going to come in at no ownership, solid ballpark, getting a little bit more back to normal here. The lineup is. So I like the lefties in it. The problem is price on everyone, but if you can make it work pretty easily, which this is not a great slate for pitching, not many options up at the top, or at least great options up at the top. So if you're paying down at pitching, it's entirely fine to go with this Mets stack because Harvey's just bad. And the bullpen behind him is not great, and the ballpark's great, and it's going to be 85 degrees tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to feel great looking at the numbers and stacking the Mets, but it's Matt Harvey.
Yeah.
I mean, does that sum it up, Grant?
I mean, yeah, it's pretty much you can always stack against him.
I don't know if I'd like target one-offs. I guess like Alonso is always someone you could target as a one-off, but he's 5,800. So I think you're stacking the Mets or just kind of staying away. Any interest here in the Baltimore bats?
I have a little bit of interest. I don't expect anyone to play him. Again, Walker's due for some negative regression. He's really not that great of a pitcher. We look at his numbers, and he's a lot worse versus lefties than he is versus righties. The guy's giving up 43% hard contact and a 38% fly ball rate to lefties so far this season. And he has a .025 ISO. Like, it's just silly how much negative regression he has coming this way. So I don't mind targeting. Mullins is the guy I really like. Like, Mullins should be in all of your Baltimore stacks. But Santander, Galvis, DJ Stewart, all solid plays. And if you want to throw in Mountcastle or Franco, they're starting to hit the ball a little bit better recently. So I don't know if I want to pay 5.6K for Mancini. But I actually like most of the other guys in the stack. I think that they're an underrated offense. Obviously, they put up 10 runs today, and they've been playing pretty well recently. I'd like to target them a little bit more versus lefties, but I just don't think Walker's good, and I don't think anyone's really going to stack against him. And you can get a lot of these lefties in the lineup real well, and they can do some damage against him, I think, in this ballpark.
I like the lefties. I think the Baltimore lefties is where I would be targeting the most in this spot. Moving on, we got Milwaukee at Cincinnati. Brett Anderson against Vladimir Gutierrez. 9.5 total. Pick 'em game. I guess Milwaukee is a slight favorite now. Any interest here in Anderson?
No. Dude strikes out guys at 11% clip. Cincinnati's good.
Yeah, I think it's a really, really bad spot for Anderson. I really hope the weather holds off in this game. I really like the bats in this game. Gutierrez on the other side. I mean, we really haven't seen a lot of him yet, but from what we've seen so far, low strikeout guy, high walk rates, even against this terrible Milwaukee lineup, I don't think I can pull the trigger, but if you're playing like 150 teams, I don't think I'd talk you off of it.
I probably
so
would.
Cheap.
Oh, I guess I can't say anything. There's a cheap guy I'm thinking about using that you're probably going to laugh at me for. But Gutierrez just really isn't a great pitcher. He doesn't strike out guys. He gets wild. He's currently got a 7X FIP. Granted, it's only through two starts. But giving up a lot of fly balls. He's just a not great pitcher. And all of his underlying numbers, all his minor league numbers, just kind of point towards him being not a great pitcher. He's getting a lot of guys are going to be platooning out in this spot. Obviously, they have a whole bunch of lefties. And the main thing he relies on is that slider, which still isn't even that great. His curveball's not good. He's going to struggle heavily versus lefties in this lineup, even though they're not great lefties. I have no interest, and I don't care if I was building 150 lineups. I'd have zero shots at him, but I'm also going to play a guy that is pretty much minimum price, and I'm going to lose money.
I think the worst thing for Gutierrez in this spot is, like, the walk rates for Milwaukee. Like, he could walk a lot of guys in this game, and, you know, that's where the stack becomes, like, super viable for the Brewers as well, because if he's starting to walk people, this stack is super cheap. Thoughts on the Brewers?
I don't mind them at all. I mean, they're sitting there with a 4.9 implied team total and a good ballpark going up against a guy that struggles versus lefties. Like, they could do some damage here. Vogelbach's 3.5K. Yelich hasn't been great this season, but he's still a solid overall bat. Shaw's been bad, but Navarez, 4K, get the catcher spot. Adames, like, Vlad's not striking out either side of the plate. He's only striking out 70% of righties, 11% of lefties. I don't expect that to change too much, and he's giving up a lot of fly balls. So Adames, Shaw, Navarez, Yelich, Vogelbach are all very, very solid plays. The stack overall is very solid. I plan on using them a decent amount.
The Reds. I mean, Castellanos is probably the best play in the slate at 4,500 facing Anderson in this ballpark. He's way too cheap.
So every day, pretty much.
I mean, like, I don't understand the pricing on him. I know it's like a broken record at this point, but I mean, he hasn't been extremely hot here recently outside of having multi-hits in four of his last five games. I mean, like, why is he so cheap, Grant? I don't get it.
I don't know. And he's going up against a lefty. Like, it just, none of it makes sense at all. Like, Castellanos, yeah, is probably the best play on the entire slate. I know Winker is going up lefty-lefty, but I still have no problem playing him at all. He's just so on fire that I really don't care. Suarez has been struggling this season, but he's still getting hard contact when he actually does make contact on the ball, and he's going up against a low strikeout lefty. Like, this is a very, very good spot for the righties in this lineup, specifically Castellanos. But I don't mind throwing in Winker, and I don't mind throwing in Naquin if he's actually in the lineup or back in the lineup today. But it's a good stack. We have some weather concerns in this, though, right?
Yeah, this is one of the three games with weather concerns.
Yeah. Yeah. But, yeah, stack up Cincy.
All right, moving on. Colorado at Miami. We got Gomber against Garnett. Garrett, sorry. I was like,
I was going to say him, like, Kevin, do I have Kevin Garnett. Wrong? Yeah.
No total in this game from what I've seen so far. I would guess it's because Garrett is kind of a late starter. He's getting called up to pitch in this game. Any interest here in Gomber at 6K?
I mean, he's fine. Like, it's not the worst idea in the world. He's sitting at a pretty decent K rate on the season at 25%. This is not a good Miami lineup. There's a lot of high strikeout bats in this lineup here. He's worse versus righties, but he's not that much worse overall. Like, he's a cheap pitcher that is in a good ballpark and going up against a bad lineup. Like, I'm probably going to be using a decent amount of pitchers from this game, and I don't really feel great about it.
I would much rather play Gomber than Gutierrez in the game before that we just talked about.
Yeah.
Like, I like this spot a lot more for him. Big strikeout guy, especially against righties. They're going to throw a lot of righties against him. You know, the lefties that they're going to throw against him, they have high strikeout rate against left-handed pitching. So, I mean, this is a spot that he should pitch really well, and he's 6K. I think he's going to get some ownership here, but I think he's a really strong tournament play. Any interest here in Garrett on the other side of this game?
He's the cheap guy. He's the cheap guy that I'm probably going to play. Like, this is a guy that kind of grades out to be a slightly above average strikeout guy to an average strikeout guy in the majors. We only have three innings of work from him so far in the majors this year, but he's going to be an average to maybe slightly below average overall pitcher with above average strikeout stuff. I really, really like him in this spot. Like, it's going up against Colorado. He's a lefty, so he's going to be going up against a predominantly lefty lineup. If Story is in the lineup, that kind of changes things a little bit. I'll still use him, but I won't be as heavy on him. But if he's going up against this lineup without Story, he's got Tapia, he's got Blackman, he's got McMahon to worry about. That's really it. Like, Crone's fine, but this is not a great lineup. It's their second game back from Coors. But if he's going to be how he projects to be in the majors, and he just had a few shutdown outings in the minors, at 4K, I think that he could end up being the highest point per dollar pitcher on the entire slate.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great matchup, especially if they roll out like five or six lefties, which is the normal lineup for the Colorado Rockies. So I think it's going to be lineup based. If they throw a lot of righties at him, I probably will like him less. Let's talk bats here. Anything standing out to you for the Rockies?
I mean, you can always stack against a guy like a fairly young guy, but they're just so trash. If Story's in there, it's not the worst idea in the world, but I'm probably going to stay away. It's in Marlins Park. This is not a good lineup. This does not have a ton of upside. It's pretty much just if he gets nerves, which I don't expect happening since he's pitched about 10 innings of baseball in the majors, so he's not going to have that first outing nerves. So I'm out on the Rockies.
Yeah, I mean, any of the cheap right-handed bats, I don't hate the idea of playing them. But yeah, probably won't play a lot here. Any interest in the Marlins bats?
Not really. Gomber's not a terrible pitcher, and this is a bad ballpark in there. The guys you do want, Jazz, Marte, and Aguiar, are all priced up, so I'm out on the Marlins.
Yeah, right there with you. Houston at Boston. Odorizzi against Eovaldi in this one. This game's currently sitting at a 9.5 total. Boston is a 140 favorite. Any interest here in Jake Odorizzi?
No, the Red Sox have a 5.2 implied run total. Like, I know they haven't been great this season, but Odorizzi really hasn't been either. He's been really struggling versus lefties. I know this isn't a lefty-dominant lineup, but overall, like, with the weather, with the stadium, I don't see many chances where he ends up putting up a tournament-winning score.
I mean, that's kind of how I feel, too. I don't really have a ton of interest in this one. Just like overall, 8,100 for a guy that just hasn't shown any type of ceiling at all this season. I think he doesn't have a game over 15 fantasy points yet. So the other side, Nathan Eovaldi. I mean, it's an okay matchup because I do have a lot of righties and he generates a lot of ground balls and strikeouts. But I mean, I'm probably not going to pay 8,300 for him in this matchup against a team that just doesn't strike out very much.
Yeah, I'm out on Eovaldi. It's a tough strikeout matchup. It's a tough ballpark. It's a tough overall matchup. Even though he's been a pretty decent pitcher, he should be priced at around 8.3K going up against actual just mediocre or below average teams, and this is Houston. So I just generally don't play non-elite pitchers against Houston. I'm not going to play him at 8.3K.
I don't see the need to do it. Bats in this game, anything here for Houston?
Alvarez at 4K stands out as a very good one-off. Eovaldi's been worse versus lefties than has versus righties this season. Alvarez is too cheap at 4K for any matchup, really. He's not an overwhelmingly big strikeout pitcher, and Eovaldi isn't. So Alvarez stands out. Tucker at 3.6K is not the worst idea in the world. Brantley at 3.7K is not the worst idea in the world. If you want, you can stack up the lefties and then throw one righty in there, either Bregman or Altuve or Correa or Gurriel, just because you can get that stack in pretty cheap. And the lefties in this lineup are pretty darn solid. But overall, Eovaldi's not a guy that gets blown up a ton. So it's majority Alvarez is one off.
Yeah, I mean, the lefty power bats, which is pretty much Alvarez, is kind of what I'd be looking at here. Brantley at 3,700, I think, is a fine play. Kyle Tucker at 3,600 is a fine play. Alvarez, my favorite. Those other two guys would be like secondary pieces here. The Boston side, I mean, like you said, they have a really high implied team total. What's your thoughts when it comes to Boston?
Yeah, I mean, stack them up. It's being played in Fenway. It's obviously a great ballpark. They have a very high implied team total. The problem is you want to target lefties. So it's pretty much Devers is the main go-to. Maybe Santana if he's in the lineup. Maybe Verdugo if he's in the lineup. All just depends on what they end up rolling out. But I'm fine with stacking up. Like, it's Odorizzi is not like he's been great versus righties. He's just been better versus righties than he has versus lefties. He's overall just kind of supposed to be a splits neutral pitcher. So I'll stack up anyone 1 through 9 in this lineup. Like, I don't have a problem playing anyone. Marwin's cheap. Hunter Renfro has some pop. JD, Bogarts all have just fantastic stats. So I like this. This is going to be one of the chalkier stacks on the slate, and it's for a reason. Odorizzi's just not great, and these bats have a decent amount of upside.
All right. Moving on, we got Washington going into Tampa. Corbin against McCallahan. This game has an 8 total. Tampa's a 159 favorite. Any interest here in Corbin?
No, Corbin's not just not really good anymore. He's a brand name, but he's really not
struggling.
Yeah, I've been stacking against him pretty much all season long. I don't think things are going to change. Well, they might change in this specific matchup, but I don't think they're going to change at this point in season. It is a heavy strikeout matchup going up against the Rays. And if they do end up rolling out a pretty dominantly left-handed heavy lineup, then I don't really have any problem with playing Corbin. I know he's been bad, but he's still been well above average going up against lefties, gets a lot of ground balls, gets a 23% K rate. He's just been so bad versus righties. So I have to wait and see what the lineup is. If it's lefty heavy with Zunino in there, then I might take a shot on him at 7.4K, considering that they're playing over in Tampa Bay. But if they roll out a more righty-heavy lineup, which I'm kind of expecting them to roll out probably 6 righties, I don't think that's enough for me, and I'm probably going to stay away.
Yeah, I mean, Corbin's just been really struggling this year. It's been a rough year for him. So I really don't have any interest whatsoever in him. I like the ballpark. I don't hate the matchup. It is a team that strikes out a lot. I can't do it. I mean, like I said, he's just really been struggling this season. So McCallahan on the other side, I mean, from what we've seen so far from him in a small sample size, big strikeout stuff. I think the matchup is kind of tough for him because Washington, they don't strike out a lot. What's your thoughts here on McCallahan?
I just can't use him knowing there's probably only going to go, 75 pitches? I wish they would give him a full leash, but they haven't. Last game was one of the latest he's gone into a game or most pitches he's been allowed. And it was 79. This guy is very good. But at 8.2K, I can't throw a guy in there that won't go over 80 pitches. I just don't see it being worth it. It's just not a spot I really want to go with him. And it's not like this Washington lineup is that bad. It's a solid overall lineup. He's just a very good pitcher, but he's going to probably end up going 4, maybe 5 innings if you're lucky, and he'll get some strikeouts, but I don't want to pay 8.2K for a guy that's going to go max 80 pitches.
I mean, that's how I kind of feel. If he was a little bit cheaper, I think we would have more interest. I don't see myself stacking against him. You could play Turner, you could play Zimmerman, you could play Gomes, Harrison, I guess. But I mean, I would use those guys more as one-offs here. I don't think I'm going to stack against him because not only are you stacking against him, you're stacking against that really good bullpen.
Yeah, I have no interest in a single Washington bat. If you really want to go with something, Harrison's not the worst aid in the world, sitting at 3.3K with the platoon split. But I'm not paying 5.4K for Soto. I'm not paying 5.7K for Turner. I'm not paying 4.9 for Zimmerman. Bell's fine, but McClanahan is a very, very good real-life pitcher. He's just he'd be a great fantasy pitcher, too, if he can go 100 pitches. But they're just not going to allow him to do that, and then you got a good bullpen behind him. There's a bad ballpark. I have zero interest in any Nationals bats.
Any interest in the Tampa bats here?
Not really. I mean, Rosaria is still 5.5K. Meadows, lefty-lefty, is still 5.8K. Margo or Diaz, they're cheap if you really need some price savings. Brousseau, if I'm going with anyone, it's probably Zunino. Corbin's still giving up a 44% hard contact rate to righties. Zunino strikes out a huge clip. He's going up against Corbin, who's a 16.8% strikeout rate guy to righties, so Zunino's really the only guy I have any interest in over on these Rays, especially since it's in Tampa.
Seattle at Detroit, Flexen against Mize. Do you see a total for this game? Oh, there it is. 8.5. Detroit's a 132 favorite. Any interest here in Flexen?
I mean, I have an interest in any time a pitcher goes up against Detroit. But there's multiple guys. I'd rather play Gomber. I'd rather play Mize on the other side at 6K. I'd rather pay down a little bit. He's on my radar just because it is against Detroit. I'll do more I'll do more research into it tomorrow, but as of right now, it just seems like a mediocre option, and it's strictly because he's got a fantastic matchup versus Detroit, but they have been hitting a little bit better recently.
Yeah, I mean, Mize on the other side of this game, 6,800. I feel like him and Gomber are my two like cheap guys on the slate. He has good stuff. I mean, he's really good against righties. He struggles against lefties, but the lefties in this lineup outside of like Seager are not great. I think this is a game that like he put up 29 fantasy points, I think, against this team earlier this season. I just think he's going to go out, pitch really well. I feel like he should be 8,500 instead of 6,800. So I think he's one of these guys that we're kind of looking at. And we've definitely seen him take a lot of, you know, positive steps this season. And like his stats look a lot better this year. What are your thoughts when it comes to him?
He's my number one overall pitcher.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, it's just a spot going up against Seattle, who's not a great team. And Mize, yes, he's got a little bit of a platoon split, and so I kind of want to see the lineup. It's between him and Gomber. I'm going to wait and see on ownership, and I'm going to wait and see the lineup, because there is potential that Seattle could end up rolling out six lefties here, in which case I have a whole lot less interest in Mize. I mean, he's a guy with pretty extreme splits so far this year. He's got a 251 WOBA versus righties compared to 330 against the lefties. He's giving up 50% hard contact to lefties. This could be a spot where I'm using a leverage stack on the Mariners if they roll out their lefty dominant lineup. That's Crawford, that's Seager, that's all their outfielders that are all lefties with some pop. This could be a great spot for Seattle, or it could be a fantastic spot for Mize. Like, it's just such a – like, you never really see – like this much of a possible disparity in the lineup where it can change a guy from being the best pitcher on the slate to potentially the other side being the best stack on the slate. I'm expecting Mize to come in at around 40% ownership, which rightfully so, but if they roll out a lefty heavy lineup, I'm probably fading him, going over to Gomber if he's not going to be nearly as high owned, and playing the Mariners. It's just one of those weird situations where you can get a lot of power bats in here at almost – no ownership and get leverage on 40% of the field, and you're going to be getting them all at incredibly cheap price tags. I mean, Seager's under 4K. That's just a terrible price tag. Trammell's 2.6K. Fraley's only 3K. Like, all these guys are so, so cheap, and they do have some pop. And Mize is such an extreme splits guy that this could be a beautiful spot to get a leverage stack, because his splitter is just not hitting as well as it should be. So he's struggling versus lefties. So all that to say is I'm waiting on ownership for Mize, and I'm probably either going to be very heavy on the Mariners or very heavy on Mize, depending on how many lefties are in that lineup.
I mean, that kind of sums up the bats too, because like that's, you know, the same way that I would look at it. If the lefties are in here, I definitely like Seager. At 3,900, I think he's one of the better plays here. Detroit bats, any interest here in Detroit against a guy that just doesn't make people miss?
Yeah, I actually do, which is weird. I mean, Haas, 3.8K, like, he's been just absolutely crushing. Had another home run today. Scope at 4K is not the worst idea in the world. Grossman hasn't been bad. Like, I don't mind the Detroit stack. Flexen is just not great. Like, he's a decent ground ball pitcher that, like, not good, he's just decent, but he strikes no one out and he gives up a lot of hard contact. It's supposed to be 83 degrees over in Detroit. This is just kind of a spot where I pretty much say I'm never gonna stack the Tigers. Today's the day. Like, this is the spot. Seattle doesn't have a great bullpen. Flexen is not a great pitcher. Ball's gonna be put in play a lot. A lot of the Tigers still get a decent amount of hard contact. I'm going to be using them for probably the first time all year. I thought about it today, but didn't end up doing it. Now, Wednesday, probably going to end up.
Yeah, I mean, they're so cheap. You could go double barrel pitcher. Like, we haven't even talked about Gerrit Cole yet. Like, he's obviously about to be someone that we're about to talk about. It's a great spot for him. So, I mean, you could go double barrel pitcher and you know, pay up here and get those guys. So It's definitely an interesting spot because Detroit's just so cheap and Flexen's not a big strikeout guy. So I don't know if I fully stack them. I definitely could see myself using like a three-man stack and just kind of making the rest of my lineup work with them.
Yeah.
Toronto at Chicago, taking on the White Sox. Alex Manoah against Lance Lynn. This game has an 8.5 total. White Sox are 155 favorite. Any interest here in Alec Manoah?
Not against the White Sox. I mean, this guy's super talented. Could end up being very good. Will likely end up being a very good pitcher. Only two outings to see out of him. But, like, if this were a better matchup, I'd probably have a ton of interest on him. He obviously lit up the Yankees and then got lit up by Miami. His underlying numbers on the season, we don't have enough to really make a huge decision. He's only faced 40 batters. And he struck out 30% of them, and he still has a 5.1 xFIP. So this is a spot where I don't think I can fully trust him. He may go and strike out a lot of guys, but he's been a little bit wild, and a lot of guys in this lineup know how to work a count. So 9.7K is just too much for me to really want to play him at all.
He's just too expensive, and it's not the greatest matchup in the world. So price is definitely going to keep me off of him here. Any interest here in Lance Lynn on the other side?
No, 10.4K going up against Toronto. I know he's been very good versus righties, and this is a predominantly right-handed heavy lineup. But I still don't think I want to pay 10.4K. I'd rather just go up to Cole, like, or pay down. Like, I don't think projections are going to have him any higher than guys like Miz or like Gomber. Like, he's not going to stand off the page. He's expensive. I just don't see many situations where he ends up with a big overall score, even going up against a righty lineup like this.
I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if Lance Lynn dominates his team by any means. I probably don't end up playing him at 10-4. I do think he's an interesting pivot off of Garrett Cole, but I think Garrett Cole is clearly the play. He's so good against righties, and throughout his career, he's been good against righties. And like, there is a good chance he sees nine righties in this lineup. Maybe they throw a couple lefties. I mean, Grant, I wouldn't be shocked. I don't think you would be shocked if he dominates this team. But I mean, I'm not going to run to play Toronto bats against him. I'll say that. You could play Vlad against anybody right now because he's crushing the ball, but I mean, Lance Lynn has been one of the best pitchers in baseball this season. And, like, he has one of the longest leashes in baseball. I mean, I could easily talk myself into playing some Lance Lynn.
Yeah, I don't know. I see what you're saying. I could end up changing this around tomorrow. But he's going up against a team. He's still a pretty big fly ball hitter, even to righties. Like, he's still giving up 48% fly balls to righties. He just isn't giving up a ton of hard contact. And this is a team where Simeon crushes the ball, Bichette crushes the ball, Vlad, Hernandez, Grichik, all these guys hit the ball very hard. And so even though he's got a high K rate, and even though there's some strikeouts in here, I could see him getting beat up pretty badly in this one. Like, I could be wrong, but he's been fantastic this season, 1.23 ERA, but he's still sitting at a 4.4 xFIP on the season. He strikes out lefty or righties at a 30% clip. But this is a spot I feel like maybe if he's entirely unowned, I'll take a shot on him. But there's not a ton of high-priced guys that people want to pay up for. And it's pretty much Cole, which, who knows, Cole could end up getting 70% ownership today. We've seen it before on a slate. Not this big of a slate, but we've seen it on slates before. But no one's really paying up for Manoah. No one's paying up for Wainwright, Gonsolin, Eflin, Walker. There's not many guys to pay up for. So I'm still expecting Lynn to be going up against this Toronto team where he dominates righties, and he's going to draw some ownership, I think. Again, could end up being wrong, but I'm actually, if he is owned, I'm probably going to be stacking up the righties on this team just because they have so much power. The 1-5 hitters just all hit the ball hard 45% of the time versus righties. So a big fly ball pitcher that may strike him out at a decent clip, I think he could end up in some trouble here. It's going to be very low owned because of the price tag, but with Gomber, Miz, Garrett all on the slate. I'm planning on paying down. It's going to be an interesting strategy, and I'll still have a decent amount of coal, but I can easily fit these guys into my lineup.
Fair enough. Fair enough. White Sox?
They got a 4.7 implied total. I'll probably end up with one stack. Manoah has been a little bit wild at times, giving up a decent amount of fly balls. So he can definitely get beat up in this spot. Like, they're fine. No one really stands out as a fantastic play. Manoah is a very good prospect, and he's just struggled with fly balls and hard contact. So this is the type of team that can beat him, stack him up, use one-off power bats. That's fine, but he's still a high strikeout guy. So I wouldn't go too heavy on him.
All right, Yankees and Twins, Garrett Cole, Robbie Dobonek facing off in this one. 8 total. Yankees a 177 favorite. Garrett Cole against Minnesota. I mean, yeah, sign me up.
Yeah, I mean, who knows if whatever is going
Nelson
on.
Cruz. Huh? Nelson Cruz.
Well, no, I just meant the whole sticky stuff, whatever it is. I don't know. It'll be interesting.
It's crazy, man. Like, there's a lot of articles floating around about it. It's crazy to read, but
yeah, I haven't looked too much into it. I don't want to have to read too much into it. I've just gotten a baseline of it, so who knows, that could affect him. But he's Garrett Cole. Even though going up against the Yankees, he'll occasionally give up a bomb, but it's Garrett Cole. Like, and
going up against the Yankees, he plays for the Yankees, buddy.
Or sorry, going up against the Twins. Yeah.
You're all good.
Son of a bitch. It's Garrett Cole.
I mean, yeah, like, it's one of the best pitchers in baseball. Like, there's a good chance that the best hitter in this lineup is not going to be in the lineup. I mean, yeah, like, this is a great spot to play Garrett Cole.
Yeah.
Robbie Dobonek on the other side, it's not a great spot to play him. Pitch to contact type of pitcher here in Dobonek against a lineup that just has a ton of power. I know he's going to generate ground balls, but I mean, this is a terrible spot for him.
Yeah, he's going to get crushed. He's just not very good. Like, he's not terrible, but he's not very good. It'll be interesting to see how many people are on. It's going to be 90 over Minnesota. So it's solid hitting weather. But Dobonek, yeah, I'm not using Dobonek. And you're not using Dobonek. It's against the Yankees, and he only strikes out guys that have 15% clip, but I'm not sure how much of the Yankees lineup I'm going to be using. He's been a guy that's getting 60% of ground balls to righties. This is a predominantly righty-heavy lineup. He is giving up a lot of hard contact, so BABIP could just absolutely crush him here, and I wouldn't be surprised if it absolutely crushes him here. This is pretty much a stack or fade spot for me. Odor is the only guy that really stands out as a solid overall play, and he always stands out as a solid overall play, and I always hate playing him, and it always ends up biting me in the tush. But the stack is a 5 implied team total for a reason. It's a solid overall spot for them, and they're just at the hands of BABIP in this one.
I mean, yeah, they're way too cheap. They're way too cheap facing a pitcher that just doesn't strike anybody out. I know he generates ground balls, like you said. He gives up a lot of hard contact. I just feel like this is one of the top stacks in the slate. I'm going to have a hard time not playing the Yankees a lot on this slate. So I have zero interest in the Twins, though.
Yep.
Moving right along, Indians and Cardinals. Mejia against Wainwright in this one. The total has come out. It's an 8 total, and the Cardinals are a 130 favorite. Any interest here in JC Mejia?
No, I don't expect him to go more than, what, 60?
I think, yeah, 65 to 75 is max.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I don't even think he'll get that far, like, probably going to have a long reliever after him. Like, just no, not really any interest in him at all, even at 5.5K.
Yeah, just don't expect him to pitch deep enough in the game. Wainwright on the other side, he's just too expensive.
Yeah, no interest in him at 9.5K. Cleveland's not a big strikeout team. He's not a big strikeout guy. He could end up giving up 1-2 runs, but even in that case, he's still probably not going to be worth his 9.5K salary.
Bats in this game, anything here for Cleveland?
I don't think I really want anything from this entire game. Like, there's a reason why it's an 8 in team total. Like, Wainwright's an all right pitcher. It's Cleveland bats are not great outside of Ramirez. Like, you can use Ramirez in this one, and you can use Goldschmidt and Arenado, but I really probably would suggest against it.
I mean, yeah, I don't hate it. St. Louis, I mean, it's you're going to get a bullpen game. Lina's banged up. I mean, Arenado, Goldschmidt.
Maybe O'Neill. Carlson's maybe O'Neill. Cheap, but really no one stands out as a good play.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't see myself. I just hope this game goes like 4-3 and nothing comes out of this game.
Yep. That's the most likely scenario. I mean,
like, at the end of the day, that's kind of what I'm hoping for. Kansas City at LA taking on the Angels is where we finish here. Brad Keller, Griffin Canning, 9 total. Angels a 140 favorite. Any interest here in Brad Keller?
I don't play Brad Keller. Angels have a 4.8 implied run total. Keller doesn't strike guys out. This isn't a great strikeout team even without Trout in there. It's not a great team, but I'm not using Keller.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't have any interest here whatsoever. Canning, 8,400. It just seems like a lot. He's only put up over 20 fantasy points twice this season. One was against Seattle. The other was against Texas. Kansas City's not much better. I mean, if he's going to be chalky, I'm way out. I don't have a ton of interest here.
If he's not going to be owned, then I'll play him. Like,
sure. Yeah, still, I agree.
Yeah, that's basically like this is a guy that, I mean, him and Andrew Heaney are literally, it doesn't matter the matchup most of the time. It doesn't matter anything. It's pretty much what's the ownership going to be. If the ownership's going to be high, you stack against him. If the ownership's going to be low, you play him. He's a 27% K rate guy. He can strike out both sides of the plate pretty well, more heavy with righties. And this is going to be a 8 righty lineup. Like, I honestly have a lot of interest in him if he's going to be 8-10% owned. Like, I'm gonna just absolutely hammer him into my lineup. He's a 32% K rate guy, and this Kansas City team is very hit or miss with a projected probably 25% K rate in their lineup. He's a guy that can absolutely mow guys down. He's a guy that can give up a lot of bombs. There's not a ton of guys in this lineup that can really hit the ball that well. It's Perez, it's Dozier, Santana and Witt have some pop, but this is the bottom four of this lineup, whoever it ends up being, is not a very power dominant bottom of the lineup, and they're going to be a decent K rate, and they're all going to be probably right. If Nicky Lopez is in there, it's a slight downgrade, but more than likely it's going to be Alberto, who isn't going to really do any damage against you. This could be a big game for him if they roll out a righty hit dominant lineup and he just runs on the right side of home run to fly ball variants. But this is also a team that can hit a few bombs. I won't mind mini stacking if Canning's going to be chalky. So there's really no way to break it down too much the night before, but if you want to play him, absolutely play him, even if he is going to be heavily owned, because if this lineup comes out is very ready dominant, he can crush them.
Bats in this game, anything here for Kansas City?
Like I said, if Canning's gonna be chalky, you stack against him just because he gives up so much hard contact. So it would be Perez, it would be Benintendi if he's in there, it'd be Soler, it'd be Dozier. All those guys are cheap, and then you throw in Witt or Santana if you really want to at those price tags and you have the money for it.
And then the Angels side, I mean, Ohtani obviously is a great play. Rendon has been hitting the ball really well. Jared Walsh is priced. I think those would be the three guys that I'd be targeting the most in this spot.
Yeah. I mean, I don't mind Upton. Like, he's 4K. Keller's not good versus righties or lefties. He's predominantly a ground ball guy, but Upton, Ohtani, Rendon, Walsh all have the ball up in the air. It's pretty much the same thing every single day with the Angels, though. Like, those are the four guys you want to play. Anyone else you want to throw in your lineup, probably not a great idea. But, I mean, maybe Ward, who's getting a decent amount of fly balls, is sitting there at 2.8K, and still gets a decent amount of hard contact. But overall, this isn't a great lineup outside of those four main bats without Trout in there.
All right, so let's play the morning grind game, and then we'll get out of here. Give me a guy under 8K to get six or more strikeouts.
You want Miz or Gomber?
I mean, those are the two guys. Like,
I'll take Gomber.
I'll take Miz. I mean, that like that. I had both of those guys written down. So, over 8K to score under 15. Who's your bust today?
Walker.
I'm gonna go Anderson. I didn't want to take Anderson because I think he's like chalk, but I'm gonna go Anderson. Over 4K to hit a home run. Who do you got today?
I'll let you take Castellanos. I'll take Hoskins.
I mean, I'm not going to take him, even though he is clearly he's clearly the guy that I would take if I, you know, wasn't trying to be contrarian. I'm going to take Stanton to go yard today. Under 4K to get two hits.
DJ Stewart.
All right. And one of them is going to be a home run, right?
I would assume so.
I mean, I hate picking this guy, but give me Vogelbach. I don't know if he has a multi-hit game this season. It's a stretch. Stack to score six or more runs. Who do you got?
This is a tough one. I'm trying not to pick a chalky team. I'm just going to go with the Red Sox.
I'm going to go Reds. We're on the same. We're the same thing here.
Same color.
Right. Any bets standing out to you here night before?
Honestly, Orioles plus 128.
All right.
I know it's Harvey, but I'm not a believer in Taylor Walker, which again has turned out terribly for me this year.
I mean, there is William Hill has the Angels minus 126. Like, if you can get the Angels around that like 125 number. DraftKings has them at like 140. If you could get the Angels at 125, there's a couple books that has it at 125. So if you could get the Angels at 125, minus 125, I like that one. So
I'm doing that.
What's that?
I'm doing that right now.
He's like, I'm searching for it. I'm going to find it. Grant, any final thoughts before we get out of here?
Pay attention to ownership on Canning. Pay attention to the lineup for the Mariners and pay attention to ownership on Miz and Gomber. Those are the main three things you need to worry about. So check out RG projections and see where they end up on that, because again, I might end up stacking the Mariners against the chalky Miz.
All right. That will do it for today. We'll be back tomorrow talking some more baseball. Good luck, everyone. We'll see you again tomorrow.
Hey, kids.